you have a date circled in your hair yet?
Man, you guys love dates. It'll probably be one of those moments where I'll probably have to wake up one day and be like, all right, Griff, Trajan, Coach, I'm ready. Y'all let me go.
That's Pelicans rookie Zion Williamson, answering the question that's been looming over the NBA. When are we going to see him play basketball? Today, as we get closer to Zion's debut, a deeper look at the injury that's kept the entire city of New Orleans in suspense, and whether he'll live up to the hype when he's finally on the court. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Wednesday, January 15th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Indeed. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going?
Andrew Lopez covers the New Orleans Pelicans for ESPN.
Andrew, from the moment that the Pelicans won the NBA lottery, landing the first overall pick, Zion Williamson was almost universally expected to walk in and be the face of the franchise, really the face of basketball in the city of New Orleans. What did you think as you were watching the draft?
Yeah, so I'll go back to the lottery with it. Just 2 weeks prior to this, the newspaper I was working for got bought out. I was really in a state of flux personally. And then I remember when that Memphis logo came out of the number two envelope.
The second pick will be made by the Memphis Grizzlies. And that means that the number one pick in the 2019 NBA draft goes to the New Orleans Pelicans.
And I realized, oh, wait, the Pels have Zion. I turned to a buddy of mine who was sitting next to me, and I grabbed his arm, and I was like, bro, I got a job. Like, somebody's going to hire me for this guy. So it all kind of worked out, because that night I kind of started the ball rolling with ESPN, and ESPN hired me in August to cover Zion and to do all this. So it really changed a lot in the city. I mean, in the city itself, what, the day after, they sold like 3,000 or 3,500 season ticket packages. It was insane. You saw people walking around. It was June and July in New Orleans, and you saw people walking around in Pelicans gear. That's Saints time. We don't do that down here. It really has changed a lot for Zion to get down here. And it's still, the hype is still very real, even though, you know, he hasn't actually played a regular season game yet.
Right. You were brought in to cover Zion. You have not been covering Zion. Well, not covering him on the court. He's practicing. He's been injured all year. What's his outlook like?
Today is actually a very big day for Zion, because the Pelicans still want to get him a lot of five-on-five work. That's a big step in his recovery right now. The problem with that has been they haven't had a lot of practice time to get there once he was cleared for the five-on-five work. Last week he did it, but then the Pels had a stretch of five games in 8 days where they didn't really get much practice time. You don't get a lot of practice time on the road. So today's actually a big day where he's going to get a chance to get back out there and get some five-on-five work done. We don't know if it's going to be one more, if it's going to be two more practices, but we're getting close to the end game now. We don't have a date circled, but we're getting close to when, you know, he'll finally make his regular season debut.
How many times have you said end game since this has all begun?
A lot. That's been a fun word for me. Everywhere you go in the city right now, everybody wants to ask you, when's Zion coming back? When's Zion coming back? When's Zion coming back? Alvin Gentry told a story a couple of weeks ago. He's in Walmart, and a lady on a scooter walked up to him. And she's like, hey, nice to see you, coach. When's Zion coming back? Everybody wants to know. When the Saints lost on that Sunday in the playoffs, I had four or five people text me right after. Hey, so like Zion's coming back tomorrow, right? Like, this is going to get better for us as fans. And I'm like, sorry, guys. People are just waiting for this debut as much as they can.
So, Andrew, this all goes back to the preseason. Zion makes his debut against the Atlanta Hawks. He delivers not just one, but three earth-shattering dunks.
Zion stays ready for the hammer.
I'm going to say it again, Joe. That's not normal. That's not normal. You don't shoot it and then go.
Over the course of his first four games, he averages more than 23 points. He's shooting 71.4% from the floor. And then the unthinkable happens.
Breaking news, just 4 days before Zion's NBA career was scheduled to start, Zion will miss a period of weeks because of a right knee injury.
Usually when you have a meniscus injury, any sort of knee injury, you can kind of point to, hey, it happened at this moment right here. You can't do that with Zion. He doesn't know when he hurt the knee. The Pelicans don't know when he hurt the knee. And that's not just a PR spin on it. Nobody knows when he hurt this thing. It's very possible he played at least one or two games with a torn meniscus. I think he had, 22-10 in that last game against the Spurs. And it was only after that game where he kind of went to the training staff and was like, hey, guys, my knee kind of hurts. Maybe we can get this checked out. And they thought it was just a regular routine thing. They go get the MRI done and they're like, oh, we have an issue here. There was no swelling. He didn't really feel that much pain. It was more like something doesn't feel right in the knee. And that's how it kind of started. He was clean when they got him in preseason. They do think it happened in preseason. It's also not anything that goes back to his time at Duke. There's no lingering things there or in summer league. They think it happened in the preseason. They just don't know exactly when.
So the news comes out. Everybody's a little bit confused. What happens next?
Before they go to that last preseason game in New York against the Knicks, the Pelicans announce, hey, he's out with right knee soreness. And it takes a couple of days before we figure out what is exactly going on. And part of the reason for that was they wanted to get different opinions from different doctors. It took a weekend, and then they announce, hey, he's having surgery. He had the surgery this morning. Everything is good. We're looking at a 6 to 8 week timeline. The 6 to 8 week timeline obviously would have been finished in December, and we're still waiting for that debut, but that's kind of where everything started right there.
So, Andrew, how has the team handled Zion's rehabilitation process?
So this has been more than it being just about the knee. They have taken the time to look at Zion as a person, Zion's body type throughout this entire process. That's why, when you look at 6 to 8 weeks, that put us early to mid-December. But instead, we're mid-January now, we're a month after that, and we're still waiting. It's because they took their time with his process. The knee is good. The knee is ready to go. But they were working on the kinetic chain of his body. They're working on how much torque he's using. They're working on how he lands. They're working on how he walks and runs differently. Now, anybody who has been through any sort of physical therapy knows when you go through PT, your physical therapist will teach you how to reuse parts of your body. This isn't like Zion was like a toddler and they're like trying to teach him how to take his first step. They're tweaking things that he does. They're tweaking how he lands, how to put less stress on his body. They're just trying to fix everything that they can so that when he does take the court, he has the same explosiveness that we saw before.
I appreciate your calm, rational description of the Zion relearning how to walk story, because when it came out, Andrew, everybody just about lost their minds. Zion is not your ordinary basketball player.
6'7", 285 pounds at age 19.
That's a lot of weight to try to slow down.
He is built more like a football player, like a defensive end. And I think people look at him and they see a body type that's unprecedented and they worry that this injury could signify longer term problems. Were there any concerns about his body type or durability before he was drafted?
Not so much. They knew they were going to have to tweak a couple of things. For him to eventually get to the level where he's playing consistently 82 games at a high level, he's going to have to make an investment in his body, much the way LeBron does, whether that's a personal chef, whether that's having a trainer just for him. Those things will come along, but the Pelicans are confident to where they didn't think that, because he's 6'6", 285, that they were going to have these issues. They realized he was a one of one. That's what Griff likes to say a lot, the one of one. So they were okay with where he was. They just knew that they were going to have certain things in place to be able to maintain his body along with him.
One comparison that's come up a bit as Zion's been injured, Andrew, has been Blake Griffin, who, you know, is a similarly large, strong guy who's had a lot of injuries. He missed his entire rookie season after suffering a knee injury. Dave Griffin, the GM of the Pelicans, has discussed this. What do you make of that comparison?
I mean, it's a pretty good one. I think it's one of the best out there in terms of his body type and the injury coming in his first year. Obviously, Blake had a much more severe injury than what Zion had, but just like Blake, Zion generates a lot of torque in his body, and he generates, he's a hard dunker. You hear his dunks throughout the arena when he throws it down, even when he's doing it in practice. And Blake was a lot like that early in his career. And now Blake is still dealing with knee issues. So they're following a lot of what happened with Blake to make sure that Zion can go down a slightly different path to where he's going to be a little bit healthier when he's 29, 30, 31. And for them, hopefully still in a New Orleans Pelicans uniform.
So, Andrew, Zion is out for weeks. Weeks turn into months. And during this time, well, the Pelicans lose a lot of basketball games. They are at the bottom of the Western Conference, seemingly with nothing to play for. Is there ever any talk in New Orleans of just sitting Zion for the season?
Never. They never had that thought, not once. David Griffin is trying to build a culture of winning. And they lost a franchise record 13 games in a row this year. But there was never a thought of shutting him down. If he was healthy enough to play, they were going to play him. After that 13-game losing streak, they tweaked a couple of things defensively, started to win some games. They're not going to just trade off these veterans that they have just because. They're going to bring Zion back because they want to win basketball games. If they get the 8 seed, great. If they fall short, that's fine too. But they are going to play to win games. And that's the kind of thing that Griffin has been adamant about from the start.
Coming up, how Zion's presence could change basketball in the city of New Orleans.
The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Andrew, you're from New Orleans.
Yeah.
What has the culture around basketball been like in the city?
As much as New Orleans is a football town, and especially since Katrina with the Saints having actual success, it's always been a strong basketball city. They understand basketball here. They love basketball here. It is a great basketball town. And I think when Zion does get back on the floor, those seats are going to be filled and these fans are going to be very excited to watch basketball.
You mentioned they're calling Zion one of one, but I'm old enough to remember when they had another player who a lot of people thought was one of one, and that was Anthony Davis, who was drafted first overall back in 2012. He was supposed to be the guy to save basketball in this city. And we all know how that story ended. The team didn't succeed in the playoffs. He wanted out, ended up getting traded to Los Angeles. And really, I think, you know, left an entirely different team in his wake. What sort of roster did Zion walk into?
a much better one that is suited around him than the one that Anthony Davis left. That was kind of the issue with AD the whole time. And when people see AD like catching all these lobs from and finishing in reverse, it's like, oh my God, he's so like he's been doing that for years. People just weren't watching the games down here. He is a phenomenal player, but the roster was not constructed properly around him. The team is constructed a little bit better around Zion than it was around Anthony Davis. And they brought in JJ Redick. They brought in Derek Favors. They kept Jrue Holiday. So that it has a little bit of that veteran mix, but the team is built to grow a little bit better for Zion than when it was for AD.
So, Andrew, there was never a question in New Orleans about whether or not Zion would play this season. But what about next season and the season after that? Not whether or not he'd play, but how much basketball Zion will play. Load management has been one of the biggest storylines of the NBA season. Given the injury concerns, and I understand if those are overstated, do you think they'll approach his usage differently from how they might use another young player?
I think they're going to monitor him probably a little bit closer, but as long as he's healthy, they're going to let him play. I don't ever foresee him being a 38 minute a night kind of guy. I think they'll keep that in mind. You know, he'll play his 38, 40 minutes sometimes when they're trying to really win some good ball games, but they're going to monitor his minutes. I think moving forward, they're going to monitor his play, how he is. If he needs a day off, they'll give him a day off. Maybe it'll be in practice. Maybe it'll be in a game. They understand that Zion Williamson is the long-term future of this franchise. As much as during the season, or during the preseason, I should say, David Griffin and Alvin Gentry like to talk about how Jrue Holiday is the face of the franchise right now. They didn't want to try to put too much pressure on Zion. They know what it is. There's a huge 160-something foot billboard outside the arena with Zion's picture on it. It wasn't AD. It's not Drew's picture. So they know he's the future. So they know they have to keep him healthy at all costs. They are trying to protect his body for the long term.
So the public hasn't seen a lot of Zion, but you've been around him. How has he handled all of this? What has he been like in the locker room?
He's a jokester, man. He's a fun kid. I mean, you got to remember, he's still 19. He's still learning. He's still getting used to this. I remember, you know, he was talking once with Nikhil Alexander-Walker about like hitting a half court shot, and they were trying to joke around about what they were going to do with it. Nikhil's joking like, "Hey man, we need you trying to make this like a second contract bet. We got to make this a first contract bet." The biggest bet right now is he'll bet pushups with some of the Pelican staffers. They'll try to challenge him at the end of his workout with a certain dunk. And the one that it's been recently is a two steps into a between the legs dunk at the rim. And Zion has won some and had to do, and you know, the staffers have to do pushups. He's lost some and they've had to do pushups. So he's really just being a kid right now, and he's having a lot of fun. He understands that work is work, but he's making the most out of the situation.
Andrew, LSU just won the national championship. New Orleans sports fans, I'm guessing, are in pretty good spirits right now. What will it be like when Zion makes his return? What will the mood be like in the city?
It's going to be like a volcano erupting. Like if it wasn't already, you know, it's been crazy the last couple of days with LSU. I don't think a lot of people went to work on Tuesday. So it's going to be pretty crazy. I remember what it was 10 years ago when the Saints won the Super Bowl, and it just kind of carried for a while through the city. So for you to basically ride that wave of momentum into a Zion Williamson debut, and then they can still make a playoff push, the city's going to react very well to it. I can promise you that.
Thanks so much, Andrew.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Coming up, a historic moment for the WNBA.
Now you can win a $250,000 home renovation designed by the Scott Brothers in an ADT smart home security system. To enter, just head to ADT.com/pass the protection and tell us what you want to protect. A beautiful home is great, but a safer home is even better. Now's your opportunity to get both. The winner and the winner's home will be featured in an ADT video with the Scott Brothers. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends March 16th. Must be 18 or over and a homeowner as of February 1st, 2020. To learn more about the contest and read the official rules, go to ADT.com/pass the protection. Here's another story I want you to know. Yesterday was a massive day for women's basketball. The WNBA and its players' union announced a new collective bargaining agreement that will change the game and could change women's sports, period. Now, if you've been following the WNBA in recent years, you know that as viewership and attention have grown, the league has drawn scrutiny for how it pays players. When former league MVP Breanna Stewart ruptured her Achilles while playing abroad, which is something a number of stars do to supplement their limited income, that criticism intensified. Now, the new agreement doesn't fix everything, but it's a massive win for players. As part of the deal, the maximum WNBA salary will rise more than 83% to $215,000, and certain players can make even more. The revenue split between players and the league, a major point of contention under the old agreement, which had players receiving 20 to 30%, could become a 50-50 split by 2021. On top of that, the bargain ensures moms will get paid on maternity leave, as well as improving travel conditions and other benefits. The commissioner of the league, Kathy Engelbert, called the deal a big bet on women, which I think is a really good way to put it. Because too often, when people debate the notion of equal pay, they look at the discrepancy in revenue or profitability without recognizing that for-profit companies invest in ventures all the time, not because of what they've earned or done so far, but because of what they could become. So this is the WNBA, and by extension, the NBA, which supports the league, betting on the women who play the sport, believing that if they give them the support they need off the court, the game itself will grow as a result. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.